Today, I would like to talk to you a little bit about the need for us to live in moral purity before God. If there's one thing that's impressed on my mind as I read through the Scriptures, it's that God repeatedly says to us exactly what kind of person is and is not allowed into His kingdom, is and is not going to live in forever in heaven. As you think about these kind of people, the first passage we come to is Romans chapter 1. In Romans 1, it mentions those that God had simply given up to a bad way of life. Beginning in verse 26, it says, "For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections." After that, he mentions about, say, for example, homosexuals. Another time, he mentions here a little bit later on about people doing that which is unseemly. And then he lists a whole bunch of sins in Romans 1, beginning in verse 29, and listen at them. "Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents." And he goes on to say that they are without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Now, nobody is going to literally put you to death if you do these things, or at least they probably won't. However, if you do some of them, you may be caught by man and, you know, may suffer a bad consequence. However, especially like, for example, murder from Romans 1, verse 29, however, the Lord holds us accountable for these things, knowing the judgment of God, he says in Romans 1, verse 32. Now, what about you? What kind of person are you? I come across people, and it seems that they don't make the connection. If you are going to be a Christian, then there is a necessity of living the Christian life. Otherwise, you're just simply trying to live a lie before God, and God will not put up with it. He sees everything that you're doing, my friend. And do not think that, well, I can be good in all these different things, but I'll just do one thing. I'll have one part of unrighteousness. What about what God says in Romans 1, verse 29? If you are unrighteous, even if you're not a lot of these other things, then God says, I've got a judgment coming for you. Somebody says, well, I'll be good to my neighbors, and I'll help people out in so many different ways, but, you know, I'll be an immoral fornicator. I'll be with one woman, and then I'll be with another one, and whatever I want to do. All right. You may have all kinds of good works that you do, but when you commit that sin, then you are going to face the judgment of God and be counted worthy of death. Romans 1, verse 32. Now somebody says, oh, well, preacher, you can't say what God's going to do to me at judgment. I didn't say anything. I just gave you God's word. Now, if I can't quote it right out of the Bible and, you know, have it apply to you, if the shoe fits, as they say, you know, then wear it. But, you know, if it does, don't blame the one who simply gave you the message, because God is the author of this. All I did is repeat the words. Now, that's just one passage of Scripture, Romans chapter 1. How important does God consider these things? I say to you that God considers them to be extremely important. And I know that because God repeats them over and over and over again. How would God show you that something is important? It's not like He can put things all in bold, you know, in the Scripture somewhere. That's not the way the Bible was written. It's not like God is going to literally say, now I'm shouting this at you. This is real important. God will repeat it if it is important. And God repeated these lists of sins and told us that if we're going to be righteous and if we're going to live right, that, you know, everything's going to be fine. But if you're going to live against the way of God, then it's not that God doesn't have enough grace. But if you're going to stubbornly rebel in any of these sins, as God gives them in these important lists, then those sins will come back to meet you at judgment. I have no doubt about that whatsoever. That brings us to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Here we are told to shun immorality. And he talks about the kind of immorality that we must stay away from. Know ye not, he says in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9, don't you know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Well, what does it take to be unrighteous before God? What causes me to be rejected out of the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, brethren. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now let's go back over and look at that for just a moment again. I don't care what society says about me being tolerant, and I don't care what they call me for supposedly being intolerant. The fact of the matter is that those the Bible describes as being effeminate or abusers of themselves with mankind, in other words, homosexuals, are people who are going to face the judgment of God, plain and simple. And if they don't like that message, then, you know, I'm sorry, I didn't originate the message. I'm not sorry for preaching it, though, but I'm just sad that, you know, you would want to follow that lifestyle. God says you don't inherit the kingdom of God. What about somebody out there that says, well, I take things and I don't worry about giving them back? Well, everybody, you know, looks down on a thief, right? And they say, well, you know, you can't do that. They don't inherit the kingdom of God. And yet you turn right around after you get through preaching to them and you say, you know, I like to go over here and I like to drink every now and then. Me and my buddies get going out and everything. Drunkards do not inherit the kingdom of God. Somebody says, oh, well, I'm not a drunkard. I wouldn't do that. And they start making excuses and everything. If you don't watch it, you'll be the next group too, a reviler. Neither drunkards nor revilers shall inherit the kingdom of God. Oh, they say, well, preacher, you're just doing a lot of hard preaching right now, but, you know, I'll go out here and I'll live pure, you know, and I'll do right, basically. And then they go out here and they get in business and they start swindling people. What does the Bible say? Nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now, I can't tell what you really are because I only know you, you know, so well when it comes to any individual. And you only know me so well. For all you know, I'm a big hypocrite preaching this right now. But I'll tell you this much. I know that God's word will be true. And that if I am any one of these things, I don't inherit the kingdom of God. And if you are any of these things, you don't inherit the kingdom of God. And that's just the plain truth of the matter. Now, God would not list these things over and over and over again if they were not that important. They must be that important. Let's go to another list. In the book of Galatians, in Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit is put in contrast to the works of the flesh. It says in the Bible in Galatians 5 in verse 17 that the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Now if I'm going to live in bondage to sin and if I'm going to follow sin, Lord, what kind of sins do I commit? And he says, adultery. Now how much of that do we have around? And somebody says, oh, yeah, he's a good fellow, but he ran out on his wife. Well, really, how good can you be when God says you're not going to inherit my kingdom because you committed this sin? Well, he can get forgiveness, can't he? Yeah, he can get forgiveness. But how many times is he going to commit that sin against the Lord and in a high-handed way think that he's not done anything all that bad? Forgiveness means that you've repented of it, and repentance involves a humbling of yourself before God. And I don't see a whole lot of people out there that commit that kind of sin being very humble about it. And you certainly aren't going to pick up from the modern day media that people are to be very humble about this kind of sin. But I don't care how much they do it on TV, and I don't care how much it's practiced in society today. Adulterers and fornicators and unclean people and lascivious people do not inherit the kingdom of God. You don't get to be with Jesus forever and ever. That's just plain Bible truth. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, people that try to divide others against others, people that express their hatred for other people, people that try to deceive people into bad deals, into doing bad things. That means every kind of drug pusher out here and everybody else that's involved with them. They are all going to find themselves outside of the kingdom of God. Envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Once again, I can picture the person saying, oh, well, preacher, I'll get out here and I'll drink a few beers every now and then, but I'm not a regular old drunk. Well, really? Do you drink enough to get loosened up, you reveler? Do you just kind of social drink, such like? Of which I tell you before, as I told you in time past, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And if you don't see gambling or something like that in that verse, then you're not looking very close. Because everybody knows what the works of the flesh are and what the fruit of the Spirit is. And you know whether you're one or the other or practicing one or the other if you'll just look at yourself deep down and see what it is that you're doing and compare it to what God says that He wants you to have out of life. It's not to practice any of these sins. It is for you to be transformed into a new creature in Jesus Christ. For the service of God in Jesus Christ is a great calling. It is a calling that gives us a reason to rise above all of these base ways of living. And if we're going to make Monroe County, and if we're going to make this whole area of the country in what they call the Bible Belt, to be a shining light to the whole world, then we're going to have to start living like that light is supposed to live. And we're going to have to let it shine. Because if you don't let it shine, then whether the list of sins comes from Galatians 5, or by the way, the next one is in Colossians chapter 3, or whether it comes all the way at the end of the Bible in Revelation chapter 21. If you're doing something in one of those lists, then God gives you a definite warning, and He says, here's what's going to happen. I leave you with Revelation 21 and verse 8. The fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, once again, that's not Tim McHenry saying that. That's the Bible. I'm just repeating God's word. I don't want to be found in that lake of fire. So I encourage you, live the gospel that you say that you believe and that you say that you hold to. Understand that if God looks upon this as being so important that He repeats it in book after book after book in the Scripture, then it sure enough must be actually important. And it means that God requires of us that we live righteously, soberly, and godly in this present age, so that we might prepare ourselves for the ultimate judgment of God later on. Thank you for listening to this radio broadcast, and let's go out there and let's try to live right for the Lord today. And let's tune back in, and you can listen tomorrow after the Noonday News and Farm Reports, and whenever you have opportunity for another message from God's Word. For the Mount Gilead Church of Christ, I'm Tim McHenry.